The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Table Talk, and this particular episode is an audience request. So one of our regular listeners, Danny, put out a question to us to talk about cultural churches, so churches that are a specific culture that is not the culture of the community around them. And so we thought that was a great topic idea, and so thanks for that, and we thought we would have that discussion today. So here we are at the table. It's myself, Luke, Nato, Dave, Matt, and Ben. And
so is this a culture versus Christianity episode then?
No. I don't think so, is it? Well, I guess it's culture, right? But it's
and it's in a Christian church.
We can call it that.
Maybe it's not adverse. Culture in Christianity.
Maybe so. So, well, let's start that conversation. What is a cultural church? So let's define our terms.
In Australia, cultural churches usually are probably... I guess the common ones for us would be, you see, like your Polynesian churches, Samoan, or I was going to say the big ones I've seen are Samoan,
Fijian.
Mm-hmm. You get Eastern European, so you will see that there's...
I thought we were still going Polynesian. I'm like,
no, sorry. trying to move through.
Polynesian Europeans.
Yeah. Sorry, but you get your Polynesian churches, your Eastern Europeans, so whether a Yugoslavian or
Polish.
Lots of Polish ones. Asian churches, so it might be a Chinese church or a Korean church.
Korean's
quite big for Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not as common. I've only seen one in Australia, but you get some of your Western Europeans as well. So you'll see that I've seen a German church.
Okay.
German Adventist church.
Okay.
So
Yeah. Well, when that is the case, I mean, I don't know what sort of experience you guys have had, and I'm sure probably get to some of that, but why are these churches created in the first place? Why not just let them join whatever the local church is?
It's a good question.
Obviously, we didn't make that choice, right?
Usually, it comes down to a level of immigration where they haven't... they haven't ascertained necessarily the skills to communicate effectively within a natural church. Like, I guess, seeing as we're talking Australia, let's just say, you know, there's a bunch of Chinese immigrants. They don't quite have the English skills to best fit in with an Adventist church here in Australia standardly. So instead of like trying to give up their faith, they just found a Chinese church where they can speak in their natural tongue. You know, they can then obviously communicate, still fellowship together, but without the pressure of trying to learn, you know, a whole nother tongue and interact as a Christian.
And not just language, it's culture as well.
Yeah, culture.
There are some cultural practices that are very, very different in, you know, different countries across the world. So
that is true.
It could be difficult, you know. We're all Australian born, so, you know, for us it's like, what? Why do you need that? But for them, it might actually be quite difficult to sort of enter into and then, you know,
have
really
you been to a Polynesian church? That is so different. When I went in there, it was just like big family gathering, and I'm just like, I mean, and churches are meant to be like a family, but they take it like proper, true family level that we haven't really, I guess, adopted or formulated yet.
And that is true. I mean, like, from my own experience when I was young, we used to attend a Maori church, actually. And that particular, even though it was labeled the Maori church, it was actually, I would say, Polynesian, like, more so, because there was like lots of different, you know, like one of the elders was South African, so that was, it wasn't exclusively Maori, but that sort of gave you the picture. But like, just like you say, it's a serious family gig. And so, you know, if you get in there and you're the natural greeting, like everyone hugs everybody else, and the, you know, the guys rub noses because that's the cultural greeting and whatever, that's all good and well if that's normal to you. If that's not normal to you, that's a really strange thing. You know, like, you know, some guy grabbing you or rubbing his nose against yours. But the thing is, because I was young, I was probably 8, maybe, you know, when we were going to that church. And so for me, that was normal. Like, you know, that was very, okay with me because I got used to that. That
explains why he always tries to rub noses with us, mate.
I know. For years it's been like, no, Luke, don't. That's weird.
So it's a transition, a smoother transition for someone coming into a different culture. Right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, well, that would have been... You asked the question, why would they have done it to begin with? And I'd say that would be it, you know, for transitional purposes. You know, like, when you're entering into a new country, everything's different.
Mm.
And it's going to be hard. Mm. Lots of things are going to be hard.
So, with that as context, though, what challenges does that then create? Because as often, there is a trade-off, right? If you're going to do something different to the norm, there's going to be unintentional consequences. So are there any negatives that come as a result?
One of the things that you mentioned is, you know, that culture thing. Like, if I went to Mary Church that you went to, and someone like come along and tried to rub nose with me, I'm like, what? hang on. I'm not into this. It could chase people away.
It could. Another downside is the prevailing cultural majority in the country. So I guess a lot of standard Australian churches might feel like they're being snubbed by, you know, we're seeing, oh, we've got all these Adventists moving over to Australia for job opportunities and things like that. But we're not seeing church membership rise because they're just going to found their own church because they don't want to be part of us. And sometimes it's easy for us to get our noses out of joint.
So you're saying it's like weakening the overall structure?
I don't know if it's weakening the overall structure, but I guess sometimes as members we can, you know, feel if we're from the majority culture that, you know, they don't want to be a part of us. And so it creates a us and them.
Yeah, definitely there's an us and them thing. I was going to say, actually, from the other side of this story, that sometimes the other culture feels snubbed by us as the majority. And so that's why they go and start the... Yeah, they go and start the thing amongst themselves. Because it's like, well, you know, they don't want a bar of us, so we'll go and hang with our own people.
Yeah.
And so we've got to be sensitive to that if we're going to try to have intercultural churches that are running effectively. We can't do that. We can't do the us and them thing.
Well, I guess what's the biggest question we should be asking ourselves is, you know, how would I feel if I was in their shoes?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go to, you know, Korea and...
Yeah, so you say you move to Korea for a better opportunity for, say, your career and your family, and you move over there, and next thing it's like, I want to be an Adventist, you know. I am an Adventist, but I can't find an Adventist church that's going to take me in and accept me as a English-speaking white Australian.
Yeah. Well, I've been overseas, been over to Cambodia, and the church that I went to, well, the main part of the church, because it wasn't big enough for everyone, the main church, it's all in Khmer. It's not translated. I didn't go there because I would have gotten zero out of it. They had they had another church where a lot of the younger people went to, a lot of the students at the school. It was in Khmer and English. So it was translated.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get, you know, an understanding, which was great. I was in that culture, but I could also understand. Which, you know, to me is a really good thing.
Mm.
Now, when it came time for Sabbath school, there was an actual class in English, as in an English-speaking people's class, which I think is a great idea as well. Because
that's where you have your primary input, right?
Yeah, I can converse and that. Does it mean that I exclude the other... the local culture? No. Because it's just, you know, Sabbath school, and then church is in, surrounded by a lot of Cambodian folk.
I think that now leads us into, I guess, one of the next points we want to clear up so we can further the conversation and then get to a wholesome wrapping. But we've been talking about intercultural churches and cultural churches, but there's really three kind of, I guess, group churches. We've got a cultural church, a multicultural church, and an intercultural church. Mm. Perhaps we should really explain on these ideas and what they look like, so then we can start to finish this and make it, you know, make it look right.
Sure. So we were talking before about cultural churches. So this is the idea that there's a church that is of a different culture than the prevailing community culture, and that is exclusive, right? An exclusive church. Then there's the multicultural church, which simply means it's a church that is comprised of multiple cultures. Problem is with that is that that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a healthy church. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily a good thing.
It might be factional.
It may, yeah, exactly. If the individual ethnic groups are kind of siloed off within that church, then you've got a church that's a lot weaker than it could be. I mean, just to give you an example, a good friend of mine was the last church that he was at. We have several conversations about this. That he was saying when he would go and attend that church, there were, I think he said three or four main ethnic groups that were represented at the church. There was Africans, Asians, like European descent, Anglo kind of people, and there was one other, I think. Anyway, but whatever, there were these multiple people groups. And even it, to the point where when they would have lunch, like everybody would finish church, they would all come out, and like there was a room where the African members went, and there was a room where the Asian members went. So like there was no interaction between the cultural groups. And
you may as well have three churches.
Exactly. You may as well have three churches. And so he was trying to actually connect with people in all of these groups. But he said you could feel that there was the very clear unspoken message of,
you're not one of us.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why aren't you hanging with your people? You know, that was the clear thing that he was
saying. Sounds like racism.
Well, it does. It does. And I'm sorry, but to me, I think that's a very unhealthy church. Like, I don't care what the church is doing. I mean, maybe it's doing great things, but that doesn't sound healthy to me. That's why we've sort of drawn this line of demarcation and said that there's a multicultural church, but there is an intercultural church. And what we mean by that when we say that, to define our terms, is that you have multiple cultures, but that work together as the body of Christ.
That interact together. Interact. That, you know, fellowship together.
Mm. Yeah. They can share all the good points of their culture, like in a nice big melting pot.
Mm. Which is really important because, like, we have it to a degree at our church. And I think the benefit of having those cultures all working together is that we're gaining something from the flavor of everybody else's cultures. Mm. And so therefore, all of our cultures are contributing and combining to make our church more and more like the culture of Christ. Mm. Because God's culture, so to speak, is not one-dimensional like all of our cultures are. God's culture takes in all of the cultures. That's why we have all these cultures in the world. And so ultimately, the ideal would be for that intercultural sort of a scenario.
So,
and I think what we're saying is the more healthy versions of these three churches are at either end of the spectrum. Mm. Cultural churches have their place, I think we're saying. You know, we wouldn't rule them out as a completely bad thing. We would say they're a really good thing evangelistically sometimes, depending on the attitude. Mm-hmm. In that they're a place where new people who have just moved to a country or who don't feel comfortable yet can get connected, that they can build their faith. And hopefully by God's grace, that cultural church will be mingling with an intercultural church so that they can break down the barriers that they've got, which is the reason why they originally went to the cultural church. Mm. And then hopefully, by God's grace, it's a bridge. Mm. Whereas the multicultural church, where there's just that separation and stuff, in a lot of ways, you feel like that should just be, like we said, three separate churches rather than one church that nobody works together. Mm-hmm. It would be healthier. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So that intercultural church, all the cultures should actually be classed as subcultures, because the culture of Christianity should be the one that unites us, that is that overarching. Yeah, we're Christians.
Yeah, which would be
this is
embrace.
Our culture.
The culture of Christianity would be the embrace of all cultures, as far as all of the redeemable elements from every single culture would be what the Christian culture is.
And that doesn't mean that those different cultures have to be silenced or they can't be present.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
they add flavour.
Using our church as an example, you know, we've got a really good, like, Filipino representation in our church. you know, the Filipinos sometimes on a Sabbath will spend some time together as their own culture, because they obviously have got some things that they like and enjoy and they do together. But they don't seclude themselves.
Yeah, they're not exclusionary.
Yeah, they don't just separate themselves. They still get involved. The same with all the other cultures in our church.
We've got Spanish, you know, doesn't mean that, and
else?
African.
Doesn't mean that they can't, you know, hang in their culture. It's not like we're saying in an intercultural church, oh, it's great, but you're just our Asian representation, but now you need to be our culture, you know?
Yeah.
It's allowing people to just flourish and be natural.
That's a good point. It's not about changing anybody's culture. That's not what the Christian culture is about. It's not about changing it. It's about embracing the elements of it that are beautiful in the image of God, and also embracing the elements of other cultures that are beautiful.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so how, like, just to make this practical before we start to wrap up, for people who are listening to this, how can they make their churches more intercultural? I mean, sure, if you are... There are
rub noses, for sure.
Yeah, whatever. But if you're... I mean, sure, I'm sure there's people going to be out there that are at churches that are not multicultural, you know, that are a single... It's a monocultural church that's, you know, we're in Australia, it's an Australian church, as an example. That may be your case, not your problem. But if you're at a church that there are multiple ethnicities represented... What can we do to push ourselves along the scale? If you find that you are multicultural but you're not intercultural, how do you bridge that gap? How do we move our churches in that direction?
Make friends. Friendships That's the difference between the multicultural and the intercultural is friendship. Yeah. You make those friendships, there's no more barriers.
Yeah. I'm going to take it one step further, and maybe this might... I hope this doesn't upset people.
You're a rebel.
Yeah, why not? But if you're... Obviously, we're talking about churches predominantly in Australia. Not that this message can't go anywhere else. But if you're in the majority or the natural culture, then I want to say the onus is on you to try and start bridging.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because you know the culture. You're comfortable in that.
Yeah.
It's someone new. It's that... You
haven't
got
anything to lose, whereas they
That's
have.
Right. It's that African family coming in your church for the first time. It's that Southeast Asian family coming into your church for the first time, Polynesian. Yeah. They're... already dealing with a plethora of new stuff.
Yeah.
You should be the one, as someone who's already established in, I guess, who you are, to be able to just go, hey, look, I've got nothing, like you said, Dave, I've got nothing to lose. I've got everything to give to help this family feel at home in my church.
Just one example that popped into my brain was, you know, if the African family did come and you were really good at cooking, you might go, you know, I might see if I can make an African dish and go, you know, welcome to church. You know, I want to try and make you feel welcome.
You might completely stuff it up, but the thought is there.
The thought there, and that approach.
I'm actually glad you mentioned food, because food is great. You're just saying food is great, full stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Look at Jesus' ministry.
But yeah, eat with people, right? That's a big deal. And your church can do intentional events. You know, you can have international tea and, you know, those sort of things where people bring foods that are representative from their cultures. And that. I mean, that's great. There's heaps of cool things you can do. But food is a great
even
tool.
When you have just a regular church luncheon, don't just sit with your normal cultural buddies. Say hello to other people and go, mind if I sit here?
Bring them over.
Bring them over.
So there's a lot more that could be said, but I think we probably hit what we wanted to hit for this particular episode. So we might wrap that there. We'll catch you guys next week. But thanks again. And anybody out there who has any other topics you'd like to hear us discuss, please do so. We're always happy to hear your ideas. And if we can, we're happy to help. We look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Too easy.
And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/OzTableTalk, and you can give anything from even $1 a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.